This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. The Four Tops were legends of Motown in the 60s and 70s with hits like this. Can't Help Myself, just one of the songs that landed the Four Tops on the top of the charts. For more than 40 years, the doo-wop and R&B groups sang together and became one of soul's most long-lived ensembles. Now Duke Fakir is the only surviving member of the original Four Tops, and at 80 years old, he is still putting on a show. Duke and the Four Tops will perform with the Temptations this Saturday, August 29th at the Deepak in Durham. Duke Fakir joins us now on the State of Things. Welcome, sir. What a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, it's my joy. How you doing, Frank? Everything is okay?
Everything is okay. We're just getting ready for your arrival. Tell us about those earliest days. You started out as the Four Ames. Am I right about that?
Yes, we did. We started out as the Four Ames because the name we picked, we wanted to signify what we were doing or what we were about, and that's because we were aiming, shooting for the stars. We were aiming high, you know? So we called ourselves the Four Ames, but after a year or so, when we was having our first recording contract, Chess Records reminded us that the Four Ames brothers were still out there and were very popular. So they suggested we change our names. Well, our musical director, who was Maurice King, he asked me some questions. He asked all of us some questions. And then he said, well, you know, because he asked us, like, what do you want to be? I said, we want to be something by name to signify where we're going, what we're trying to do. We didn't want to be a bird. We didn't want to be an animal. We didn't want to be, you know, those things, which are all right. But so he suggested, he said, well, let me think. He said, what about the Four Tops? We all looked at each other, even the Chess Brothers, say, wow, that sounds great. And so the Four Tops were born.
It worked.
It worked. That's the fashion. Yeah, it seems to work, and it seems to fit.
You know, you talked about being on Chess Records before you went to Motown. Chess, a very successful label, and yet you didn't have success until you went to Motown. What do you think accounted for that?
Well, I know what accounted for it. First of all, and we were also at Columbia and a couple other recordings. They didn't really know how to record the Four Tops. We were, at that time, the kind of group that could sing different genres of song. We wanted to work, you know, while we were looking for recording contracts. So we realized that singing all different kinds of songs would get us more jobs in different places. And, you know, people would hear us and they didn't know whether we was half pop, half R&B. So it was like we was always on the fence to record companies, and they didn't quite have the songs or the right production to get us over. So when we finally went to Motown, even Berry Gordy recorded us first doing standards, you know, Great American songs, because no one that he had there was able to do it as fluently as we could, because we did a lot of those. So he thought that would be great. We recorded maybe 20 songs like that with big bands, jazz groups, and all kind of, you know, acapella and so forth. And the album, all those recordings, he said, they come out great. He said, but this is not really commercial enough. Mm. He said, so I'm going to put you with three young guys that I really think will help you all out. And that was Holland, Dozier, and Holland. Well, right away, we became good friends. And we would hang out together. We'd talk together. We'd be around the studio together talking. And, you know, they'd come see us when we worked in Detroit and so forth. And in about 3 months, Brian Holland came to us when we were working at the 20 Grand in Detroit. He said, I got it. He said, I got your first hit. Well, I said, well, let's hear it. So he played a version of Baby, I Need Your Lovin', just the piano and a demo voice. And we said, oh, that's nice. He said, well, when you get to work, we want you to come to the studio tonight and record it. I said, oh, yeah, that quick. He said, yeah. He said, we got a little rhythm track for you, and we're ready to go. So we went to the studio about 2:30 in the morning. About 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, we were through. We had done, you know, the background, and Levi had done his lyrics, and he knew the melody real well while we were doing the background. And so we were done with Baby, I Need Your Lovin', which was just on rhythm and the four of us, which was very good.
Yeah.
But the next time I heard it was on the radio, and the production that they finally put on it was absolutely, to me, tremendous. When I heard it on the radio, I just almost screamed. Wow.
So all that production was post-production then? You guys just lay down a rhythm track and the vocals?
Right. Exactly.
Wow.
And then they sweetened me with all other kind of stuff, and it was incredible. So I called Levi, and he said, "Man, I just heard it on the radio." So I said, "Man, where's Obie?" He said, "Well, Obie's in Atlantic City with his wife. His wife's a dancer in Atlantic City." I said, "Well, let's call him." We called Obie, and he had heard it from Philadelphia. He said, "Man, I'm coming home, man." He said, "We got to get to work." He said, "We got a hit on our hands." Everybody, you know, we all thought when we heard it on the radio that it was an instant hit. And of course, it really was.
Oh, it sure was. As is this one, I want to play a little clip from Reach Out, I'll Be There, another top chart topper. And afterward, we'll talk a little bit about what makes that sound, what combination of four tops and production really created the sound that put you at the top of the charts. Let's listen. There's a clip from Reach Out, I'll Be There by the Four Tops. Four Tops going to be playing with the Temptations Saturday at the Deep Pack in Durham. Duke Fakir, the only surviving member of the Four Tops, with me now. When you hear that now, I mean, at that point, how sophisticated had you become? And no, you said you were a little surprised when you heard that first song.
Well, when we recorded that song, the four of us didn't look at it as a hit. We looked at it as an experiment and something that would go on the album, because it was like, you know, singing, talking, but it had a very good pop flavor, and which Holland Dozier was very good for. They had analyzed us and talked to us about it. They said, "You know," he said, "we know you can sing rhythm and blues, hard rhythm and blues." He said, "but you also can have that pop sound." He said, "What we're trying to do is mix that good rhythm and blues voice with pop music and see what comes of it. So maybe we can get a universal sound that everybody would like." He said, "because you're the kind of group and you have this kind of sound that you think everybody, you know, across the board would like." So that was like an experiment, you know.
Wow. Well, it paid off.
The best part of the story is, after we recorded quite a few songs, which we all thought were album songs, Barry Gordy called us in his office and said, "Fellas, I'd like to meet with you. We have something very important." So we went up there to the meeting. He said, "Fellas, I'm going to release your very next hit, and it's going to be as big or bigger than I Can't Help Myself." I said, "Wow." I said, "When are we going to record it?" He said, "You recorded already." But me and Levi and all of us looked at each other. Levi said, "We haven't recorded, you know, nothing that sounded as good as Can't Help Myself." He said, "Well, let me play it for you." Well, he played it. He played it a little more. I said, hold it, man. He said, "You're going to release that?" He said, "Yeah." Now, when we heard it, I don't think it was fully sweetened, you know, with all the extras, whatever they put on it. And it didn't sound like a hit to us. We were very disappointed, in fact. And Barry started laughing. He said, "Look, man, this is going to be, I guarantee you, a smash," that was the word they used then. So we left there pretty disappointed, man. But a couple of weeks later, again, on the radio, in the car, it sounded exactly like what he said, a smash. Yeah. And it was. I mean, I was so excited when I heard it. And so I ran over. I mean, I drove over to Levi's house. He said, "Man, come on, let's go. Just go see Barry and tell him, don't ask us no more or question us. Just put the stuff out." So we ran up and knocked on his door. He was in a meeting. And the secretary, you can't go in. We open the door and say, look, don't tell us what you're doing. Just do it.
Well, that was partly the genius. That's kind of the genius of Berry Gordy, too, in this great moment in pop music history where music is crossing over. So R&B, rock and roll, and doo-wop, all of these, and pop, are all coming together and topping the charts, right?
They had a committee called Quality Control, like most companies do in their instance. Quality Control had some of the best ears in the world for that particular time. They could pick hits better than anybody, than any company I know.
Yeah.
And there was one girl named Billie Jean. That was not who Little Michael wrote about. But Billie Jean had a better ear than everybody in there.
Yeah.
Her and she would just, sometimes they would agree on one record to be released, and she said, no, she said, the one I heard just before that is even better than that. And they would listen to her, and sure enough, she was always on the money. But anyway, Quality Control, which Berry was ahead of, and he always had the last word, of course, was absolutely tremendous. Pretty soon, it seemed like the marketplace was waiting to see what we would put out.
Yeah.
You know, it was like we controlled the market there for a minute there. You know, we had top 10 hits, like three or four records in the top 10, you know, different artists and all that kind of stuff. It was absolutely exciting, just the greatest fun you could imagine, and of course it has been everlasting.
It keeps going. You now touring with the Temptations. In 1970, you released an album with the Supremes, and who can forget this one? Let's listen.
When you
clip from the song River Deep, Mountain High, Four Tops, and the Supremes. Four Tops are teaming up with the Temptations this Saturday at the Deepak. Duke Fakir is with me from the Four Tops. Today, what was it like to work with the Supremes back in 1970?
Yes. I mean, in fact, we do a lot of work with Mary Wilson now of the Supremes.
Right.
She has a tremendous act, and we have a lot of fun together. We're still great friends, and so we started to do more shows with her. As well as with the Temps and so forth. And it's been very good, you know? And, you know, when I listen to Levi's voice, he has that rich baritone with a tenor range.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize how high he is singing on some songs because of his rich baritone sounding voice. But he's always, even they keep him high in the tenor range, would give him that urgency in his voice. And it's just it's just great for us.
Given the range of music that you performed, as you said, you R&B, pop, just a lot of different sounds that you could do, some of the rich, deep stuff that's really kind of a rootsy sound and then a more pop flavor, did you always agree on kind of what direction the group was taking, or were there sometimes creative disagreements about which direction you should go?
We pretty much agreed on our direction. We always, when we started out, even before we recorded, which, you know, it took us 10 years to get hits, we always wanted to be the kind of group that could perform, in, you know, to anyone.
Mm.
You know, because even before we went to Motown and had hits, we were working in Vegas. We had worked in a couple of supper clubs. So we were like across-the-board type middle-of-the-road entertainers because we could do all types of stuff. You know, we'd worked on production shows like Larry Steele's Highlights. We worked on another production show called Idlewild Review, and they had like dancing girls, and we would be like singing dancing guys. We were on Broadway with a show called Olivette Miller's Highlights. So we had run the gamut as young kids, singing all types by being able to sing all these genres of music and singing them pretty well.
And
it didn't seem like we were trying to do that. it just seemed like, boy, these guys can sing that stuff.
And still can at 80 years old.
Can.
What keeps you charged up? What keeps you going?
I think, for our audience is still across the board, and that is what keeps us going. And we're very pleased. At least I am, and I still feel great. I love working. I love singing on stage. Traveling is becoming a little iffy at my age, yeah. but I still don't feel my age. By the way, I won't be 80 till the day after Christmas.
Oh, sorry. 79 going on 80. All right.
Yeah, it's all going so great. Of course, I miss my buddies, but we're very fortunate. We have the son of Lawrence Payton. We have Lawrence Payton Jr. We have Ronnie McNair, who is like Obie Benson's little brother. He's been around us for 30, 40 years, and he's like almost born as a top, same as Lawrence Payton Jr. And the lead singer we have now, Harold Bonehart, which is on stage name is Spike DeLeon. He has always wanted to be Levi as a little kid, and he sings like Levi. He knows every song we ever did practically, except some album songs that he never listened to. And he sounds very similar to Levi. So this group now is like Memorex, the closest you can get to the original Tops as possible.
Duke Fakir with the group, the Four Tops. Four Tops going to be performing with the Temps this Saturday, August 29th at the DPAC in Durham. Duke, thank you so much for talking with us.
I'll be there. Take care, buddy.
You can find out more about the show at the website, stateofthings.org. Our program produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Charlie Shelton, and Will Michaels. Robin Copley is our technical director. Andrew Tai is our intern. Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.